This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live.
We are live.
We are live.
Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. If you don't know, now you know. Rule One's the best in the business. They got the best protein powder, the best supplements, the best vitamins. You name it, they got it. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. You guys know the drill. My name is Truck. And I am not inside of a truck. I'm at home today, and I'm joined, as always, by Coles and Shane O'Mac. And today we are talking tight end rankings, redraft, top 24. Coles, how are you doing today?
Good, man. Yeah, it's just another week in the life. We're busy. Basketball drafts fully underway. I'm excited for camp to start. I think Ravens rookies reported or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're underway. Scott Fishbowl, that draft is finished. So hopefully that team looks good. I don't know what to think, but we'll probably do some sort of a post-Scott Fishbowl breakdown of sorts. He was at the draft, so that'd be cool to have him on the show. Reach out maybe to Scott Fish or Kluge, who invited us down there. So we'll figure that out.
Okay, cool. Shane, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I've got a question. If you were to win Scott Fishbowl,
yes,
would you put the Scott Fishbowl? Would you get a tattoo logo?
No.
Okay. Just had to ask the question.
No, are people doing that?
The winner. I saw a couple. Yeah.
There's. Okay. I don't think there's anything that I would get a tattoo for, though.
I'll tell you right now, Mike, if we win Best Ball Mania, I'm getting a Best Ball Mania tattoo.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to push for you to get things tattooed on your body. I don't think there's anything that I would do to get tattooed.
I think there's a few things. If the Bears win the Super Bowl this year, getting a tattoo. And okay. If we win Best Ball Mania, I'm getting a tattoo. Those are the only two on my list right now. Not sure there's any other ones, but those two.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anything that would get me to get a tattoo. So
whenever I'm around someone, like my brother-in-law came to see us this past couple days ago, and he's older than I am. He just got his first tattoo. And so whenever I'm around somebody, I'm like, oh yeah, that would be cool to get one. And then I struggle with two things. A, what would I get? What is there that meaning that I would put on me? And then B, I struggle with, like, where would I put this? Like, you know, he's got this like big bicep arm, and I don't think it looks quite the same on little toothpick arms, a cool tattoo like that. So
I tell you what, Shane, this is what you need. You need right on your stomach, just two tennis rackets crossing each other like that. Something like that with a couple
of my stomach.
Yeah. And a skull, just. And then whenever you're playing tennis, take your shirt off. Everybody knows that you're just a complete badass.
Yeah. Tennis god. Yeah. Psychological warfare for the tennis courts. That's nice. I do, like, if I were to get a tattoo, I already thought it out. I would get a crossword puzzle and it would start on my thigh, and it would be like words or phrases that were like important to me. And over the course of time, that crossword puzzle would grow and spiderweb across my body. But that's what I would do.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. I like it. All right. Well, anyway, we're here talking tight end rankings. This is the last of our pre-training camp ranking series. We'll be posting some updates as the training camp comes to an end towards the end of draft season. Coles, can you take that marker off your head?
I'm switching it to this. I think it looks cooler this way.
Okay, fair enough. But so let's jump right in and get this shindig going. All right, well, very similar to our dynasty tight end rankings, we all have a different tight end one. And I have Trey McBride. Mike, you have Dalton Kincaid. Shane, you have Sam LaPorta. We all have, well, pretty close, top four very similar. I know, Shane, you have Kelce creeping up in your top four, and Mike, you have Pitts in your top four. So do I have him at four. So, but yeah, I guess let's all just state our case real quick on why we have each of those players at number one.
I'll do mine quickly. Okay, go ahead. Kincaid is going to be used as, I think he's going to be, what is that noise? Did you hear it again?
No.
Okay, I heard it again. Kincaid's going to be used as a quarter, as a wide receiver, I think, in terms of targets. And then Pitts, we just saw this weekend, they Zach Robinson came out and said, like, he's going to be used as a wide receiver and tight end. So that's about as basic as it gets. They are about, they're starting to be, like, pushed into what I view as a different tier just from targets and position on the field. So they're going to be like the beginning of this new wave of tight ends used or targeted as much as wide receiver.
Yeah. So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. I saw that Kyle Pitts come in and it's a great thing. These two receivers or two tight ends acting as receivers can result in crazy fantasy production. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Pitts is the best athlete out of that entire tight end group, like, by far. So if they're going to use him, like, his talent and his skill set, then I think that's just going to obviously result in fantasy production. Pitts could easily be tight end one this year, but because of the restructuring of the offense in Buffalo and the amount of fantasy production that Josh Allen carries, Kincaid's going to have a massive year. So I just put him at one and Pitts at two, but I could easily flip those two.
Yeah. I think this is the first year I can remember in a while where I can legitimately say any of the top six could be number one. Any one of those guys, I think I can make a case that they have a case to go. They could finish the year as number one. And I don't think we've seen that in a while, that we could have possibly six guys finish as tight end one.
I was going to say top five. I don't know if I would personally include Andrews in there. I guess anything's possible. But if I was to bet on, I would say the top five to me could finish as one. But then again, Andrews could catch two touchdowns a game and finish as a tight end one. So maybe I'm wrong there. But yeah, I get what you're saying. This
I just have Kincaid and Pitts ahead of their ceilings are way, like, we saw what Laporta's ceiling is basically last year. That's going to be Trey McBride's ceiling as well, maybe a little bit higher. But Pitts and Kincaid, if they are targeted like receivers, then they're just going to be above everyone, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. If they are truly used in that fashion, then it's going to be Kincaid, Pitts, and everyone else moving forward.
Yeah. I can definitely see that happening for sure.
Laporta, though, like, to me, that we saw his, like, that was his ceiling. You're not going to see a huge bump from him moving forward. That was about as good as it gets from a rookie season, and where he fits in their offense, that's just kind of what he is going to be for that offense for the next whatever few years while they have their championship window open. McBride, it's all going to depend on Kyler and if he's good for, like, a long term. I'm not one of those people that is like Kyler's getting traded at by the deadline. I think he's probably given a full season, but if he's not good, then they're going to be looking elsewhere. You can't waste time with Marvin Harrison early in his career of just still letting Kyler try to figure it out. So that's going to depend on what Trey McBride, I think, his success ends up being.
Yeah, and my ranking shows that I think they're going to end up being a really good team. We have their divisional breakdown coming up here in the next couple of weeks, so keep a lookout for that. But, yeah, I really like what Trey McBride was able to do. He only had three touchdowns last year, so that's the area that I want to see improvement this year, and I think he gets there. Laporta had 10 as he led the NFL for tight ends. And I think he could easily get to that mark if this offense is gelling with Marvin Harrison. So I like the talent, the athleticism, everything about Trey McBride. I just fell in love with last year. So that's why I have him at one.
Yeah, I think with McBride, you may see a little bit of a target share come down with Harrison there, but he makes up for it going with the touchdown. So I think the minimum I see him doubling that touchdown mark, and it's probably really more likely the 8 to 9 maybe range, 10 maybe range. So if he makes up for probably less catches and target volume with the touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, 106 targets he ended with, and he didn't really start get going until, what, week 7 or week 8? So on a full season, another year in the NFL with Kyler, you know, I could see him getting above 120, 130 range is where I would project him. But, yeah, I mean, and then Travis Kelce, I guess there's really not much to talk about. We have them all in the top 5. Shane, you're at 4. Kelce is a beast. Kelce is who Kelce is. And the only reason I'm kind of knocking him down is because he's getting older and their wide receivers are the best they've been in a very long time. Rashee Rice, we'll see what happens with him. But the three guys they have with Worthy, Rashee, and Hollywood Brown, I think are going to make it so where Kelce is not going to have to be the motor of this offense. He's going to be used as he has a great connection with Mahomes, and Mahomes is going to be looking for him in very clutched moments. And that's when he'll show up, because that's when he's always shown up. But I have him down at 5 just because that wide receiver room is really good this year. And I expect Mahomes to spread the ball around a lot more than he has had to in the past. And Greg Dulcich, surprise, surprise. Mike, you have him at 7. I have him down at 14. Shane, you have him down at 19. Talk about Greg, man.
That's his ceiling, and I have him there. I've talked a lot about him. That's his talent is at that level. Rookie quarterback's going to have to rely on a tight end, and he's a playmaker. So if that chemistry gets going, then that's – his legitimate ceiling, and I think he gets there. So I put him at 7.
Yeah, I love Greg Dulcich. I just, for me, in drafts, I would take him over the guys I have him ranked. Even probably Schultz, Komet. I see them all in the same range. I really like Komet and Schultz, but Greg Dulcich, I think, has that ceiling of tight end 7 that you described. All depends on Bo Nix and how the Broncos can get rolling this year, so we'll see what happens. Shane, you're all the way down at 19, though. Do you not believe in Greg Dulcich?
I just got to see it. You know, it's
– that's technically believing in Greg Dulcich. He's tight end 35.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, so. And, you know, and that's – like, I can see the athletic – you know, you just – if you go in, like, eye test, you can see the athletic ability with him on when he plays. It's just, okay – the injuries and the amount of games played and missed and having some issues in the offseason already injury-wise, combine that with a rookie quarterback, you know, it's just hard for me to rank him right now based off of that, off of some of the guys ahead of him that I think maybe either have some higher upside or that has produced good fantasy numbers in the past.
Yeah, like Tyler Conkin.
Tyler Conklin.
Conkin.
Conkin. We are just full
Tyler
of
Tyler Conkin. Conkin.
The show.
So let's not full. Wrap everyone into that. Conkin.
Yeah, Tyler Conklin. We'll get to him in a little bit.
We'll talk about Conkin later.
Yeah. Someone I like to talk about, Evan Engram, dude. Like, I want to put him higher and higher. We saw what he was able to do last year and then the vacated targets this year. Brian Thomas is someone we love. We talked about him in the wide receiver episode. Christian Kirk is there. But Evan Engram has shown to have just a massive connection with Trevor Lawrence. And I don't see that changing much this year. I have him at 7. I guess, you know, consensus is him at 6. Like, I want to move him higher. I guess I could maybe move him higher than Andrews, but I can't put him in the top 5. But I do really, really like Evan Engram this year, and I would be thrilled to have him on my fantasy roster.
Shane, what was your strategy in getting the name of Freiermuth right? Did you like really spend extra time thinking that was going to be potentially a spelling error?
I knew that one could be that was a landmine. That was a possible landmine. So, you know, you've got to really be like eyes down. It was like when I was in the trails in Colorado, like really focused on like the snakes and stuff. You got to be super focused in certain areas.
Typewriting it on the keyboard?
Prior moves were the possible landmine. Dude,
yeah.
You had to make sure.
Yeah, for Evan Engram is someone for me that I should probably look at, but like if it's not Kincaid, Pitts, or Dulcich, like given their ADPs, there's just so much value there that like I do like Engram. I think the Jags are probably going to win that division or at least take a big step forward. I love Trevor Lawrence. Evan Engram should be a huge benefactor of that while they're trying to figure out the wide receiver room. He should have a bump in touchdowns just naturally from that, from Lawrence having a better year and like those numbers improving. But there's just, in my mind, there's a ton of value in Kincaid, Pitts, and Dulcich, so why go anywhere else? But
he's almost kind of like McBride. They're very similar as far as like, I don't think you can have that target volume and reception number again. I don't think he can be that high again with some of the additions they've made in the wide receiver room, but you have to think he gets more than, what was it, 3 or 4 touchdowns last year?
He had 4 touchdowns last year, yeah. And 143 targets, 114 receptions. He had basically like 20 more receptions than any other tight end.
Yeah, I don't see that happening again, but I can see him getting to 6 to 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, and if he does that, he's probably going to be a top 5 tight end.
Yeah.
It's just you got to see how the draft board plays out for you. But like, it's just for me, like Josh Allen, Caleb Williams, or Trevor Lawrence are my quarterbacks. Dalton Kincaid, Pitts, and Dulcich are my tight ends. And then I just get the best value from running back and wide receiver. So like when there's better value, that's why like I think I'm just becoming not the best analyst for redraft because like I don't view it like I, you know, even what like we won a league last year that we referenced this league quite a bit actually called BML, and like I think we kind of approached that like we did all of our best ball drafts, won it. So like, I don't know. I'm in a very confused state right now with redraft. I think.
I can tell.
Maybe because you're nearing 200 best ball drafts.
Yeah, but like, I just think that's how you just find value, you know? And once you've found the value and you're confident in it, then just like stick guns. So for me, it's tough to talk redraft. Like, why waste time really getting into the weeds of things, ranking people out when you already know where you're going? You know, it's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and that's the way a lot of people should be looking at it. Is if you're doing your own rankings and you notice how much higher you are on certain people, those are the people you should be targeting. And based on your rankings, those are the people you should have in every draft. So
that's where you structure. That's how you base your teams. And that's how you structure your teams. And then like you just find value. Right. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm confused. I'm a confused little boy.
All right. What about George Kittle? I have George Kittle at 8. You guys have him at 11 and 10. He led the league in yardage last year. He was the only tight end to have over 1,000 yards receiving. And he did that basically just very sporadically. I mean, we saw him have a game over three touchdown receptions. I don't know if you guys are watching the Netflix receiver series. I just started it, and Kittle is one of the guys in that doc. And you know, he's such a good NFL tight end. Like a lot of NFL execs consider him as one of the top NFL tight ends because what he can do in all facets of the game. It's just for fantasy, he's just so hot and cold. There are so many weapons in that offense that it's really hard to believe in him on a weekly basis to get you enough points to win your matchup. So, I mean, looking at his end of season production, over 1,000 yards, that's phenomenal. And he's going to have those weeks that'll win you those games. I don't know. That's kind of why I have him inside the top 10.
Yeah.
But he was able to get that yardage mark, and I think that's very impressive. I didn't – when I saw it, I'm like, there's no way he had 1,000 yards last year. Like, how are you that hot and cold you could just end up averaging or totaling out that much? So do you guys have anything about Kittle?
Yeah, I've always said about Kittle, he's probably most – valuable tight end on this list for their team. But I never look at Kittle, and especially as they continue to add weapons, his role just continues to change. Like, it does, but should continue to change. And like, whatever he needs to do to get the job done that game, he's going to do. So if he needs to block, then he's going to block. If he needs to, you know, he plays such an, like, team, he plays such a team, a huge role in that offense and that team, that like, he's not really worried about his production on a game to game basis. If all wide receivers had the attitude of George Kittle, they'd be so much better off. Like, less me and more like team, you know? So
yeah,
I think he just leads with that attitude and mentality, and it bleeds through to the other teammates, and that's why they're so good, and that's why they've had so much success these last few years. But like,
yeah,
you know, he's probably a much better best ball tight end than he is redraft.
Absolutely.
He's an awesome guy and character, and you know, his intangibles are through the roof, but unfortunately that doesn't really add you anything in fantasy. So
no, it's just it's a risky pick in my opinion, with, you know, out of the 15 games he played last year, scored a touchdown in only 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would start to aggressively draft him if Ayuk ends up on the Steelers or Commanders, but
that's a very good point. If Ayuk moves, yes,
if he's, you know, they add Pearsall, first round talent, that they need to get him on the field a little bit, you know. His role just is so much more than catching balls, that that's why I have him at 11. I think Ferguson is going to be leaned on heavily again in the red zone because of their lack of run game. You know, Njoku showed like he was going to break out towards the end of last year. Evan Ingram, we already talked about. So it's just tough for me to put him ahead of any of those guys, knowing that, like, there's going to be games where he's just not going to see the ball, and he's totally fine with it because the 49ers won by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. I think you just got to have the right expectations with, if you draft Kittle, right? So you got to know you're not going to have a consistently weekly, you know, great floor with him. Maybe you might have some down weeks, but then just know that you're going to win weeks because of him. I think he had 3 straight weeks where he had 20 or more fantasy points. You know, he puts up lots of yardage, probably not, he's not the, you know, PPR wise, as far as he's not going to give you week to week consistently high catch numbers, but he gives you the big plays. Like, I think he had 30 catches of 20 or more yards last year, which led the league as far as tight ends. So it's just all big play. If you have the right mindset, knowing, all right, I may have a great week, I may have a down week. Like, you just can't go in thinking he's going to be a consistent week to week producer.
I agree. It's just, for me, those down weeks, they're really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like really, really bad. I think he had 9 games where he scored under 7 fantasy points. Like, I mean, 1.9, 3.9, 1.9, 2.9, 5.4. Like those really hurt your weekly games.
And you can't,
you know what,
like,
I'm sensing any, here, Shane?
Is you can't draft another guy and try to like sub him in either. You just have to set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Because if you miss one of those big weeks, then it's like, you know, in fantasy, you only have to win. How many weeks do we have now? 13 is.
Is it 14 now?
14 yeah, now. More fantasy regular seasons, 13.
So you got to win, you know, 8, 9 games for sure to make the playoffs. And you'll for sure make the playoffs. So if you're confident in Kittle having 9 good games in the first 14 weeks, then he's a value, I think, to your team. But anyways, Shane, I'm sensing that Truck kind of views Kittle as you view Amari Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Mm. That is a good pull analogy. Yeah, that is your – yeah.
That is your Amari.
I see the comparison. Yeah. I can see the comparison. Yeah, I guess for me, I'm not drafting Kittle. He's going to be on my do not draft list, even though he ended up as a tight end 5 last year and he ended up 1,000 yards. I'm just not willing to draft somebody that can get me under 5 fantasy points on any given week. Like, I just – I'm not – it's top, too risky for me.
Top 8 tight end, Truck, Shane O'Mac. Top 8 tight end is on the do not draft list.
Yeah. Like, I'll be honest. Usually
– never cease to amaze me.
I know, right? Usually, you know, with the do not draft list, it's do not draft at their ADP. Hardly ever – like, you're never supposed to just not draft somebody. It's all about price. It's all about value. If Kittle drops far enough, you should be taking him. I'm not taking him. Regardless if it's the last pick in the draft, I'm not taking him.
Just – come on, dude.
I'm not comfortable with that that inconsistency. I'd rather take Pat Freiermuth. I'd rather take Cole Kmet, Greg Dulcich, Dalton Schultz.
This is really hard for me to sit here and not say stuff.
All right.
So let's move on.
Let's move on. Okay, fair enough.
Person.
We saw David Njoku kind of towards the end of the year last year with Joey Footsteps Flacco, kind of start breaking fantasy football. He had some amazing weeks. Ended up as – where is he at? At tight end 6. I like David Njoku, but I'm just not in love with him. I think he's a good tight end, and in that offense, they just brought in Jerry Jeudy. We'll see how he develops as a target for Deshaun Watson. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have much about Njoku. Like, what do you guys think?
But let me start off first by saying, David, if you're listening, I do apologize for the insensitive joke I made last year during the season on a start set show. So once again, I'm going to apologize for that. You know, no need to hash up what it was again.
Let's remind the people. What was it? I remember it being really funny.
I said, you're going to get burned by David Njoku this week.
Oh God. That was,
I remember that.
So for me, I'm, you know, on the AFC sleepers and bust articles that went out a couple weeks ago in our Substack, he was on my bust for that division. And for me now, it's just 2 years worth of data that his numbers are not good with Deshaun Watson. So it's like 9 and 8 fantasy points he averages with Watson. So until I can see that consistently, I'm going to bump him down a little bit lower than consensus.
Yeah, I think the talent's good. I think he's been improving every year. So if that offense continues to improve and Watts settles in this year, then I think he's going to improve from those numbers that you spoke about there, Shane. So I still like him. I like him more than Ferguson, like him more than Kittle. I think I have him in a pretty good range. So,
yeah. And I think it's for me, like it marries up Cole's with your thinking as far as your tight ends and quarterbacks. So I'm always been lower on Watson and continue to be lower on Watson. So that's for me kind of ties in with Njoku.
Yeah. And you basically still have him at a respectable ranking. So I don't have much to say about him. He's just like, I don't really ever see myself drafting tight ends where he's going. So, you know, he's just kind of not on my radar, I guess. I don't have anything to say about it, Njoku.
All right. How about Jake Ferguson? Shane, you got him up at 7. I have him at 11. Mike is 10. And I like Fergie. But Shane, I know you're the resident cowboy guy. You can speak on it a little bit better. Go ahead.
Yeah, for me, like when I was doing these rankings and looking at, like, he's one of the guys, kind of probably one of two guys, like outside of the top five, that I could see a path to finishing as a top five tight end this year. So, I mean, he was a lot of things to finish as a top end tight end. You've got to have, you know, either a lot of catches and a lot of target volume, or you've got to have a lot of touchdowns. So last year, like, he was number one in red zone targets. He was second in red zone catches. He had the same amount of touchdowns as like Hawkinson and Kelsey. And I legitimately think he will be the number two targeted person in this offense that is going to throw the ball over 600 times with Dak Prescott and not much of a receiving game. So I'm kind of like projecting him to jump to, like, if not a 1,000-yard season, very near it, 950 and above, and, 7 to 8 touchdowns.
Go ahead, Mike. I see you making some adjustments.
Yeah, I just bumped him above Njoku and Ingram, because I kind of thought the same thing about Shane. Like, hearing a Cowboy fan say it confirms me to bump him up to the top 8. I already mentioned it earlier in the podcast. Like, he's going to be relied on more heavily in the red zone, which he's already has very high red zone numbers. I just think the lack of running game, and Cooks is getting older. Tolbert should be better from a football and fantasy perspective. But in order for them to have success and be the second team in that division, then they're going to need a huge threat of Ferguson. And we haven't seen anything to this point why he won't deliver on that. So I think he's a buy for the most part. If I'm gonna miss out on this entire, I can't even say that because I'm just not gonna miss out on Kincaid Pitts, but if I were to somehow get sniped egregiously because I would already take them before their ADPs, then I could see myself taking Ferguson, because I do think he has that upside and there's not much risk there. And his ceiling is so high too, right? Like, at the very least, we're going to see what we got last season. But, I don't know. He's probably the only Cowboy I see myself drafting, unless I'm desperate at running back late and grab like a Zeke or Dowdle. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, the thing that interests me the most is how often they're going to be passing. You said 600 times is what you're projecting, and that's mm-hmm. what's very interesting to me, that lack of running game. So, yeah, I could probably bump him up a little bit. I do like Ferguson, I'd be fine having him as my tight end one, going late tight end in draft. So,
That. And the reason I said that is just because of his high floor. Like, he's someone – at that point, when you start to get into this range, you don't really just have a set it and forget it tight end anymore. You probably got to go, you know, 2-3 deep and play matchups. But with Ferguson, I think he is probably a set it and forget it. You know, I don't think Njoku really is that. I don't think Freiermuth is that, you know. So, you know, until Dulcich breaks out. I don't think obviously he has that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about Pat Freiermuth? You just mentioned him. I really like Pat Freiermuth this year. I have him inside my top 10. He's another guy I would love late in drafts as my tight end one. And that's just because, the wide receiver two in Pittsburgh is really up in the air. Roman Wilson is who we think is going to get that. He's a rookie coming in. We've seen Russell Wilson target tight ends pretty regularly. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he does like his tight ends, and I think Freiermuth is a really good tight end, and I think he has a better year than he's had in the past. So I do like him. What do you guys?
Yeah, I can pretty much disagree with everything you said. I like Freiermuth. I like the way Russell Wilson uses tight ends. The offense should improve with Arthur Smith. End of story there.
I think even more for me, it's Arthur Smith. Like I wrote about this, and because Freiermuth was my sleeper in that division where he loves to target the tight ends. I mean, it was the number, I think it was like over the last 5 years, the lowest target share for tight ends in his offense was like 24-25%. I know last year in Atlanta, it was over 30%. So, I mean, if you're just projecting those two things to happen, the history of the offensive coordinator combined with the departure of Deontay Johnson and the targets available and what I call another team with a poo-poo platter of number two wide receiver options, I mean, he's set to smash some target volume numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I want to group two guys together because I view them as very similar in fantasy football, is Cole Kmet and Dalton Schultz. Both of them are very good tight ends, but they're both in a system with three very, very good wide receivers. You know, you got the three receivers in Chicago and with the rookie quarterback, and then Houston with a second-year quarterback. It's just going to be hard for me to envision them getting consistent production and being a major piece to their offenses with how good their wide receivers are. You know what I mean? There's only so many targets to go around. And to me, it seems like these two guys are kind of going to get pushed to the side to make room for all three of the crazy good wide receivers. Do you guys see them in the same light?
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. It's on our wide receiver show. You know, we talked about how we're going to try to strategize and those two receiver rooms, how we're ranking those. It's the same way. It like correlates here. It's like, you know, you look at like Schultz, who had, I think it was 7 or 8 top 10 finishes at the tight end position. And he was third in touchdowns, tied for third in touchdowns. But I mean, it's hard for, I mean, when we think Diggs is going to come in and his first and only year there, he's probably going to get a high target volume that has to hurt somebody, even in the red zone, which is where Schultz cleaned up in. I mean, you could still see some of that. And the same thing with Kmet. Like, I think we all think Rome is going to just, if he doesn't come out week one and be dominant, like he will be progressing to there, and somebody's going to have to take the brunt of that.
Will he be dominant week two when Trucker and I are in Houston Sunday Night Football for Caleb versus CJ?
Yeah, he probably will hold off week one.
While I'm wearing his jersey?
Yeah, he'll wait till week two.
Yeah. Yep. Just so that we could have him on our DFS weekly lineup too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love thinking about going to that game. That's going to be a fun game. Very exciting.
Shit. One sec.
You okay?
Yeah. Did you guys notice that it went out? Because it didn't.
I didn't.
Hey, it's a win when it doesn't fall.
I mean, it never falls anymore. That's a joke's over.
Joke's over. That was old news.
Yeah, it doesn't even do that anymore. Schultz, yeah, I agree with Shane. Like, you don't bring in Diggs unless you...
There it goes. Notice the event.
Not so fast.
What timing? What timing?
Perfect.
That's bullshit.
That was... So it's not old news. You can keep
that was just bullshit one. It doesn't do it anymore. because yeah, I had definitely. To turn on the charger mid-show. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't bring in Diggs unless you're planning on targeting him heavily, mm-hmm. because you know he's a prima donna little bitch and will just ruin your team's culture and be a toxic player on the lines and the receiver room and the offense, you know. So yeah. You got to keep the little bitch happy, and the way you do that is throw him the ball.
Mm-hmm. Fair. I mean, you mentioned that. It's hard for me to believe that people even want him on the team with the reputation that he carries. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen it in multiple different situations now where he just has been described as like a cancer to the locker room. So it's just – anyway, we're not talking digs or wide receivers. We're talking tight ends. Let's finish up. We have this bottom half of this tight ends where you can kind of highlight maybe a sleeper or something. You know, Greg Dalton or Dallas Goedert, you kind of know what you're going to get with him. Brock Bowers, a lot of people like this year, and I see a lot of people drafting him. Shane, you have him up at 8. I have him down at 16, and Mike, you're up at 12. So, Shane, since you're the highest on him, what is it about Brock that you think he's going to have a top 10 season?
So, for me, it's two things. It's probably three things. It's A, athletic ability. So, like we talk about, like how you can see it on the field, like with Dulcich. So, it's athletic ability where they can line him up all over the place. They can even give him the ball in rushing attempts near the goal line on the end rounds. We've seen that. In college and in like many camps. It's two, I think he probably, if it's not the beginning of the season, at some point he is solidifies himself as the number two target in the offense. And I think whether if it's O'Connell or if it's Gardner Minshew, I think they can be adequate enough to give him a pretty good high catch volume. And then lastly, it's last season's rookie tight ends, it's given me, you know, continued hope that you can see that translation of college to a rookie tight end producing fantasy wise.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have heard, did you see the interview, but somebody asked Aaron Rodgers a question about Davante Adams, and his response was, yeah, I'm excited to play with him again. And a lot of people are anticipating or suggesting that it's possible at the trade deadline, Davante Adams is going to get traded to the Jets. And if that happens, Brock Bowers is going to be a main target. So I agree with you, Shane. He could develop into, you know, how we described Trey McBride or Dalton Kincaid and Kyle Pitts, how they're lining up at the wide receiver position. I could almost see that being Brock Bowers in the next year or so, depending on what the team direction they go in. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't like the Raiders, and I'm just not sure I can believe in Brock Bowers this season. So that's kind of where I'm at with him.
Yeah. When's the trade deadline?
I believe it's in November.
What week?
Week 13, week 12, I think somewhere around there. I'm spitballing. I'm not sure if you want to take a look at it.
NFL.
It's earlier year than it should be. Like I've always remembered that. Like it should wait a little later, but it's earlier than it should be.
Week 9.
Holy shit. Week 9. I was wrong. Way off.
Tuesday after week 9. Yeah. So that, you know, if that's the case, that's unfortunate for Garrett Wilson, but probably a bump for Devonta, bump for Rodgers. Probably a bump across the board with the Jets, except for Garrett Wilson. He's not going to be like his wide receiver one games will just not come as frequently. You know, they'll both be. It'll be good for the offense, the team, and I'm sure he'll still have good numbers. But like the two touchdown games, probably aren't as often and things of that nature. But
yeah, when I saw the news,
Mike Williams probably goes away a little bit.
Yeah,
but Corley remains the same. You know,
it just makes sense for me for the Raiders to do that. Like if they're not going to be very good this year, you have a veteran wide receiver on a big contract. it only makes sense to trade that piece away and continue the build that you have going. They got rid of Josh Jacobs, so I could see that happening for sure.
I could see a Jets future being in Truck's portfolio before season starts.
Yeah, I think so. I think I was looking at that the other night. I do like the Jets, and if they get Adams, man, can you imagine if the Jets are like, 6-3 or something by week 9, and then they get Devontae Adams? Like, that's just going to – yeah, that'll be dangerous. But anyway, Hunter Henry is someone I like to mention too. I think Mike and I we usually consider him in certain situations in best ball. He's someone that could be a steady target for whoever the quarterback is between Jacoby Brissett or Drake May. You got rookie wide receivers. You got a hodgepodge group of guys over there in New England. So Hunter Henry seems very interesting to me in that situation.
Yeah, we've seen him with sneaky high production in the past, just that late if you miss out on, like, Musgrave. Henry's just could be a high production, kind of old reliable type guy. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be Drake May or Brissett. I don't know that it really matters. So I think his ceiling is just one of the higher ones once you get this late. If you're a believer in Anthony Richardson, I think you need to make sure you go get Jelani Woods. He would be a guy that I would look at as like a massive value. Again, if you think Richardson is the real deal, but I don't, so I'm not going to be getting him.
Jelani Woods is a big son bitch. That guy is...
He
looks like he's 6'10". Like, when he's out on the field, he's noticeably much larger than everyone else. Like, it looks when you see him, you're like, wow, that's a big guy. So I've been saying this for the past like 2 years. I feel like they need to get Jelani on the field in certain packages all over the place. He's just such an advantage in certain situations. So I hope they do it. I hope I see it. So we'll see there. What about Cade Otton? I know, Mike, you like Cade Otton.
Steady Eddie. Shane probably has more to say about him, even though it looks like he's a little bit softer on, well, I guess only a couple spots. But Shane's the one that really has the Otton information in his brain. I just like him. I think he's a sure-handed, high-ceiling guy. When he scores touchdowns, he's going to be a start. So should be 5 of those this year, 5-7.
Yeah, I think he mirrors kind of what he did last year, unless an injury comes up. But they've talked about wanting to get him the ball more, a little bit more. But I had him ranked a little bit higher. But the guy I've kind of put ahead of him lately that I'm targeting for as a late round, if you're waiting late, or if for some reason in best ball, if you're wanting a second late tight end, and that's Tyler Conklin. When I was looking up some stats about him, I was shocked to see that since 2021, I think it was, only 6 other tight ends have more catches than him over that time span. So, like, he was at, I think, 62, 63 catches last year, with Zach Wilson and Trevor Siemian and Tim Boyle at quarterback last year. And so the only thing what you're kind of lacking with him is obviously is, the touchdowns, and he's only had 3 over the last 2 years. But if you can project Aaron Rodgers playing a whole year, hopefully you've got to see that number maybe get to 5. And if he gets to 5 and he still stays around that 65 catch mark, which has kind of been 60 to 65 over the last 3 years, then you're looking at a guy who's going to crush his ADP, which I think is like in the 160s right now.
Yeah, I think that's so much more likely than Jelani Woods, who I mentioned, as you can see in the rankings. I could probably move him up to like right by Otton. It's like his ceiling is probably top 15, top 10. If that 5 number turns into an 8. So yeah, he's someone to definitely go ahead and get. I love getting him in best ball. If you have Rodgers or Kelly or Garrett Wilson, we've been targeting a lot of him. So he's a very, you know, he's a guy that's going to start weeks that he scores touchdowns, and hopefully that happens this year with Rodgers at quarterback, because we know the 65 and 600 is coming, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ceiling is high for him with Rodgers. So, I mean, we've seen what Rodgers does with tight ends in the past, targets them in the red zone, and Conklin. I mean, I was big on Conklin last year when Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets. So, I should probably move him up, because I do think he's capable of getting to that mark. So, and then Juwan Johnson too is someone we like. He scores touchdowns. He's active in the red zone. That wide receiver group over there with behind Chris Olave, you got Rashid Shaheed, you got A.T. Perry, but Juwan could be a major target in the red zone for Derek Carr, and I think he's worth a late round flyer for Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, he's your classic, like, benefits from the injury. Everyone saw, like, heard about his injury. His ADP absolutely crashed, and I think there's not going to be, like, a ton of noise about him in camp, so people just kind of forget about him, and he'll be available basically at the end of the draft, and you can just kind of scoop him up as a sure-handed backup if you're not – if you don't have one of those elite guys and you need a roster, another tight end, because the touchdowns will come. So, you know, it's just, it's not rocket science with tight ends. That's why I think I like,
I get
at least it isn't for me. And it could be otherwise. Like, I get so easy. A lot of times I do this thing with my brain where I just assume everyone sees it that way. The way that I see tight ends is like, they have the cheat codes, targets, people that, you know, as I talked about with Kincaid, Pitts, and then you have like good offenses and like solid role in offenses, and then you just have touchdown dependent tight ends. So you just find the guys that score touchdowns. Juwan Johnson's one of those guys. So roster him, because the touchdowns are coming. His value is, you know, plus guaranteed. So
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I will say, you know, in previous seasons, we've seen with the consensus strategy is, you know, wait to go tight end, you know. But now with the way that this is top heavy with what we talked about with the top six, top five, I want one of these guys.
Like, well, it's changed from them. That was way back in the day. That was like, I don't know, the last couple of the years. It's been so past, like, you see the same with number of quarterbacks that have 300 yard games, right? Like, it's become a passing league, and the tight end position has evolved because of that. So you've seen the stress, you've seen the importance, the premium on getting one of those tight ends, just like you've seen the premium on finding a wide receiver one, right? So because of the league being such a, you know, pass first league nowadays, and the tight end position evolving, you got to find those guys that are those hybrid type, play after catch, you know, type of guys. And that's where it starts. So without that, without having one of those guys in fantasy, you're just kind of fucked. Especially yeah. If you're in like one of those tight end premium leagues. So that's why it's become that, right? It's like, unless someone aggressively falls to you, then you need to get one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm looking to get one of those guys in the top six for me, depending on where you're at in the draft. So, all right, do you guys want to mention any other late-round guys, anybody that should stay on somebody's radar?
Dully.
Well, yeah, we've talked about Dully, Dulcich, the Sitch. Shane, do you have any other guys you wanted to mention?
No, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm not trolling. I usually do this, but I'm not trolling here. But
I just want to make it very known that I am not trolling here.
Not trolling here. But, I mean, I don't think all three of us don't have it, but is it egregious that we do not have Taysom Hill on the top 24 tight ends, given that he has finished top 12 the last 2 years?
I refuse to think that you're not trolling here, okay?
He just wants to make it very clear that he's not trolling.
I mean,
he's not.
I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, how confident am I that JT Sanders is going to finish ahead of Taysom Hill and the tight end rankings at the end of this year? I mean, I'm questioning myself too.
Why isn't he on your
list? As much as we like don't believe in it, like they
continue
to use him in these weird, unpredictable ways that they, makes no sense to know when you're going to start him.
Go get your mans.
I think here it is. I think this is the case. I think you can rank him in your top 24, but I think he's a guy you cannot draft and then feel comfortable ever about starting.
Go get your mans, Shane.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think that about does it then. Feel good about where we're at with the tight ends. Yeah, I got nothing else for you guys.
Yeah. Not nothing.
It's not nothing for sure.
Not nothing. Draft Dalton Kincaid and draft Dulcich, and you'll be totally fine.
Yeah. That is our motto for this year for best ball for sure.
Kyle Pitts works too, but
yeah.
No,
yeah.
But and redraft. What do you mean?
Yeah.
In best
ball. I'm just saying that's our motto for best ball this year.
That's our motto in fantasy football this year.
And according to Truck, don't draft George Kittle at all, ever.
Yeah, what
even in the last round.
What a ridiculous thing. I cannot wait until that's a fantasy confession. Did he just sign off?
He just dropped the mic and left.
He mic dropped?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. Maybe the gods bumped me off for saying that about George Kittle. Yeah.
Did you see what I said? I can't wait till that's a fantasy confession later.
Yeah, that probably will end up being a fantasy confession in the offseason next year. So
the best part about that is like if we do it right, Kittle's the kind of guy that would respond to it.
He definitely would respond. So I'm gonna regret saying that, but it is what it is, and I'll stand by it.
I'll do my best to try to find the right people at Iowa to make sure that he sees it too.
Yeah, fair. And if you are watching George Kittle, I apologize, but it's my feelings and my feelings are the way they are. So anyway, thanks for watching. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, check us out on social media, subscribe to the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com.
What do we got coming out, Shana Mack, on the subby?
So we've got later this week, which will tie in perfectly with this episode. If you're waiting on the tight end position, these are the late round tight ends you should be targeting.
Look at that. Matches up. I like it. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, everybody, keep a lookout for our best ball live drafts that we're doing daily. And
let's do a little teaser too. Be sure to keep an eye out for the tight end, our official, like once we're in camp, our final rankings at tight end, because we may or may not have a guest, Logan Paulson, for that show.
Ooh, that's going to be awesome.
Spicy.
Keep a lookout for that. Other than that, everybody knows what to do. Buckle up.